Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app. Elijah Campbell here filling in for Robbie Stanley. And I am in the studio, all of my lonesome. Joe Rex, we're taking a quick break here. Michelle Knezvik behind the glass, as always, doing a stellar job. Now, Michelle, yesterday, a lot of Titans spoke. One specifically, Jeffrey Simmons speaking, and he was the topic of a lot of our conversations yesterday because of his contract situation, because of potentially playing in the 2022 season on a $4 million contract when his estimated market value, according to SpotTrack, great website for anyone who is learning the salary cap and value of a lot of these players, at $21 million. So essentially a $17 million discount. Jeffrey Simmons addressed a lot of those concerns yesterday. Welcome back, Joe. We had to get caffeinated. Me and him and I both were in the break room getting coffee. It is a necessity right now. So, yes, Simmons spoke yesterday, as I have the attention span of a squirrel, and he spoke about his contract specifically and where his head is in relation to playing this year on the current deal.
I'm here to play football. I got a team around me that handle my contract situations and, you know, my future and all that. So I'm focused on training, focused on getting ready for the season. You know, I'm on a plan with, you know, been talking to Coach Rabe and Todd and everyone. You know, like you said, I'm unavailable to practice. I hear, you know, if anyone will ask that. But I just been on a plan with them to focus on how much can I improve, you know, not just, you know, doing drills right now, but in the film room, in the weight room, or anything like that. So my focus is not on my contract. That's why I got a team around me to actually, they can focus on, you know, all the contract talk and whatever it may be, if it is contract talk. So like I said, my focus is on football right now.
His focus is on football right now. So he's got a team. He's not technically repped by one agent, but he does have what he said there, a team of people. And I like the bit, he's like, to discuss the contract talks, if there's contract talks. And it's like, we know. I think he probably knows, too, that he's due for a pretty good payday, and he's having other people take care of that. But, Joe, you hear that. What were the first things that came to your mind yesterday whenever he was speaking to you guys?
Well, look, I mean, good for him for getting up there. And it got very confusing quickly. But to me, the most important thing is, if anybody was wondering, and I guess you could have a fair amount of wonder until you knew, that was confirmation that the contract is a thing. Again, we've talked about it. Should be a thing. It'd be a thing if it were me. Mm-hmm. If I were him.
Yeah, it would definitely be one if it were me.
If I were him, it would be a thing. Also, I would be hiring an agent. I would be hiring an NFLPA sanctioned agent, and there are no shortage of them who would love to negotiate this contract.
That would see his be foaming at the mouth.
You know, keep your team. You know, his uncle Jason Hatcher played in the NFL. That's all fine, but get the best agent you can get to do this. And frankly, I think the Titans would love that too. I mean, really, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, things like this should go ahead and be left to people who do this for a living at a high level. And then it's the whole playing and what is that, you know, not on the field, on the field. It was very, I mean, it's just what a combination of his presser, which he's like, if it is contract, but it's not contract, but if it is contract, I don't want to know about it. But, and then, you know, I mean, good questions asked of him, including from Kaharski. Okay, so aren't you the one who has the say ultimately? You know, I mean, you can have people who work for you, but like, you have to, like, you, come on, like, you know what's happening. They tell you, you tell them, right? So he's trying to dance around. Again, he didn't have to, if it were me, the contract would be a thing. I'd hire an agent. I probably wouldn't have done the presser. Like, he didn't have to do the presser. You know, in the NFL during the season, you have certain mandates and you have, like, the quarterback has to be available, all that stuff. Jeffrey Simmons did not have to talk yesterday. So, again, you got to keep that in mind. He agreed to go up there. maybe he volunteered, but he agreed at the very least to go up there. So we have this another one of these like mysteries that Vrabel loves us to not solve, you know, with what's going on. So it's I think this could be a situation. Could be. And I asked Vrabel about this, and he basically shot down any such things about contracts or this or that. But a situation where everybody knows contract situation, and Vrabel said, you know what, there's no need to, like, just cool it during minicamp. See in camp, he's in the building, didn't get fined, he's in the building, and he's around, and he wants to be part of the team. He's a leader, he's a great player, all these things. And then training camp, I think Simmons basically said he's going to play in training camp regardless of the situation. He did say that's the plan. So whenever you say, like, that's the plan or something like that, I mean, remember, A.J. Brown, not planning to trade him. Right?
Didn't foresee a situation.
Don't foresee that happening. So I guess you could leave a little bit of wiggle room with that. Or this could be, and I think probably more people would read it this way. And Vrabel was asked about this way. Again, shut it down. You know, he's not gonna say anything about a player's health situation or really about his thinking on their plans or whatever. But you could also look at this like Simmons or Simmons' team said, Jeff's not going to participate. Okay. But he's going to show up, which, of course, you could call a hold in that term. I got to give props to Emily Proud. I guess I hadn't heard that before.
He's in the building holding his physical production.
A hold in. Either way, whether it's, you know, Vrabel preemptively said, yeah, or Simmons did this, or there's some physical thing, but I don't think that's what it is. I mean, he was on the bike, which usually means like you have some kind of injury, but it also could just mean, well, get some cardio in, right? While everybody else is out on the field. I don't think it's that. I mean, it's related in some way to the contract. Vrabel is the reason I just feel like there is a possibility of the Vrabel scenario is, you know, just he's just a little bit different than I think some coaches. He did play. He's been a leader in the union, so I think he gets all aspects of this. And it's one of those things like, even though it's just mini camp, hey, I did see like Derrick Henry and Robert Woods smash into each other the other day. Like there is a little bit of contact here or there.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine, I mean, frankly, I've seen a horrible injury in Titans minicamp or OTAs a few years ago by the right tackle, and now it's going to elude me, which basically accelerated Jack Conklin becoming the starting right tackle. I mean, it can happen, even in those situations. Non-contact.
Freak injury stuff, yeah. Non-contact stuff happens all the time.
So imagine that happening, you know, to a guy like him in his situation, you know, before you even get to training camp.
A nightmare scenario.
Now I would also, if I'm Jeffrey Simmons, or if I'm his agent, if he ever has an agent, or if I'm, you know, part of his team, I'm also looking at training camp and saying, man, we can't mess this up. I think the Titans are going to get this done. I think they're going to get done during training camp. And I think it'll be, you know, he's going to get a chunk of guaranteed money, some security. He's not going to have to sit here and worry about, because the Titans could play hardball on this. They could.
Yeah.
They could, you know, they've got him for the next 2 years for a total of about $15 million. That would, you know, sounds great to them, right?
Yeah, his cap hit. But his cap hit this year is going to be $4 million. It's going to jump to 10 next season.
Yeah, 10-7.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it should happen. And I think, you know, with Simmons and Henry, these two deals, very different situations. But
yes,
I think that these are going to be relatively painless. That's just my assumption. You never know. The AJ Brown stuff happened, but I also think that could maybe tie into this a little bit.
Yeah, that's true. And I think it's worth noting too that what AJ Brown was reportedly asking for was well over what his estimated market value was, and well over what the Titans were able to or willing to give him. And obviously, we know what happened after that. They traded him away, and now there's a little bit of wiggle room here with what the Titans have moving forward in terms of salary cap and what they have to be able to pay other players. So does the AJ Brown trade help the Titans right now with maybe some of their flexibility to maybe rework Derrick Henry's contract or extend Jeffrey Simmons to pay him what his market value will be. We'll discuss coming up next on Robbie and Rex Road. Elijah Campbell here for Robbie Stanley here on ESPN 102.5, 106 for the game Nashville app.
He's on board with a plan with you and everybody else here to, you know, at this point during this mini camp. But is it all designed to help him be at his freshest come training camp in the season at this point?
No, just doing exactly what we ask him to do. Like everybody else, everybody's got a different plan, and that's where we're at right now.
Ah, plan. Everyone else has a different plan. But the Titans are going to have to figure one out to figure out what they're going to do with Jeffrey Simmons. Market value very high. His salary going into 2022, not anywhere near that high. Joe's still confused on Jeffrey Simmons' answers to that, and rightfully so. Might not be as organized as other players because he is not repped by a formal, I guess, NFL-sanctioned agent, and he has a team of folks with him right now figuring that out, which seems stressful to me.
He did say, you know, he said that you'll find out. That's honestly, although that was, yeah, again, sort of confusing everything. Actually, I think that part of it probably, as much as anything, like confirmed, like this is a thing, right?
He's
like, yeah, you're gonna find that out soon. You know, it's like, oh, okay.
Will we?
So, and why would that be? Because you know that whoever works for you is going to be talking to them. Probably has been talking to them
the entire.
And again, anybody who would have a problem with Jeffrey Simmons for seeking security right now, given what he has become as a player, I can't possibly understand that mindset. It's one of my all-time pet peeves is the fans taking the side of management on things like this.
Yeah.
Why? I understand the whole idea of, well, then my team isn't as good if we have to pay, you know, this person or that person too much money. I get it, but you know, you should also root for your great players to be compensated, right?
Be compensated, right? And be taken care of and actually want to play for your favorite team. So that's a good point. Liam's on that board. Liam on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, pay that man his money.
Yes.
I agree. But Titans have some flexibility to do that now because of that A.J. Brown trade. I think this would, if they never traded A.J. Brown, this would be a whole lot more intense of a discussion of whether or not you do actually pay him that money. You actually have the ability to do that now with a little more ease than you did pre-A.J. Brown trade.
That's true. You also have the – trust me, that's not on my end – excuse the A.J. Brown thing. I still think it's going to be really costly, but you're right. It helps with this. Also, the A.J. Brown situation, I guess if you're Jeffrey Simmons, you can look at it. Yeah, you can look at it and understand there are a lot of things that were part of that that probably won't be part of your situation.
Very much so.
But
that was unique.
Twitter.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
I don't even know if Jeff tweets, but but you can look at – no, I think here and there. He got in a little bit with some of the Bengals guys after the game, didn't he? I think he did.
Yeah.
But he can also look at it and say, well, John Robinson will move you. He'll move you. You know? Now, granted, this is something A.J. Brown wanted, specifically that team, right? But it's an interesting preamble to this situation. Like you said, there's cap. And yes, the cap exists. We have Jared on later. Maybe we can gang up on Jared on the cap not existing. As a Saints fan, you're keenly aware of the cap existing.
Yes, because couldn't sign Teron Armstead, arguably top five left tackle.
Jared would say, no, they just didn't want him.
Nope, not true. Teron Armstead is a key part of what they do. The Saints run the ball really well, and they do a lot of blocking schemes that require having a really athletic left tackle.
He's a great player.
They could really use Teron Armstead. I'm sure they'd feel a lot better about the offense with Teron Armstead at left tackle than Trevor Penning, which is who they drafted to essentially replace Teron Armstead at that position. Teron Armstead also made a ton of money, a fat payday with the Miami Dolphins. Their running game is going to get better because of the existence of Teron Armstead, and Tua Tagovailoa will be able to survive the 2022 football season because he is protected by Teron Armstead. So there's that. And then, of course, on the defensive side of the ball, Marcus Williams, great, great safety. They would much rather have him than not have him.
He's a better player than the Honey Badger at this point.
He is. Period. Yes. Because I know they said Tyrann Mathieu, but Tyrann Mathieu got a sweet, like, he gave them a very team-friendly deal to come home because the demand for Tyrann Mathieu was not as high as what it was 5 years ago or however long ago it was whenever he made the move to Kansas City.
Maybe? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's obviously past the prime of his career, and they had to replenish that position. It's a big name, but you're not going to get the same production you had with Marcus Williams. Like, and then last year, Trey Hendrickson, who was top five in the NFL in sacks, it's maybe, oh, maybe because Cam Jordan's on the other side of the football that he's not going to get all those sacks because all the attention is going to be to him. Well, he signs with the Broncos. The Bengals, top five in sacks, one of the better defensive linemen in the NFL, defensive ends in the NFL, and obviously the Bengals took a big leap because their offense was really good, but the defense was competent because Trey Hendrickson was getting to the quarterback a lot. They had a reliable pass rusher in Trey Hendrickson. Not because the Saints didn't want him. They could have definitely used him at times last year, but they lost three very key players to their operation just because you can't sign everybody, and they were in salary cap hell. I mean, absolutely being punished for the amount of money they were giving guys. They had to make some sacrifices. And yeah, they signed Jarvis Landry this year, but like at the same time, Jarvis Landry's a lot like Tyrann Mathieu. The demand for Jarvis Landry was very, very low. There's a reason that signing happened in June, not in free agency period, which, as Paul Karski told you guys a couple weeks ago, is in March.
Yeah, so it's a... Those are great examples of the cap does dictate things. It is absolutely manipulatable. Manipulable?
Manipulable?
Easily manipulated? Let's go with that. It's super stretchable, no doubt. And it's not a, we shouldn't call like the NHL thing and the NFL thing the same thing, right? Like the NHL salary cap is very simple. It's here's the number, that's it. The NFL, more liberties are taken than ever before, no doubt. But yes, those are all cap casualties. Roger Saffold for the Titans is a cap casualty. The Titans, yes, he was hurt, and they didn't want to pay him that much money. If it could all fit and everything was fine and they didn't have to, you know, do a little bit of nipping and tucking here and there because you do have to be compliant, Roger Saffold will be here with the Titans this year. And it remains to me, as much as the A.J. Brown loss is huge, I really think that they're going to miss Roger Saffold with what they want to do offensively. I think he fit perfectly. I think Taylor Lewan is going to miss him badly. And the Titans, taking injuries into account, still valued him. Just not, you know, that's a big number. You know, you're eight figures. So there are still cap casualties. And Jeffrey Simmons is more... I think it's easier to look at this if you're John Robinson and say, let's just get this done now, given how things have gone. And I think that's what he needs to do. I think that's what he will do. I think this will be camp. I don't know if it's like early camp, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's that. Early camp and Simmons is again, I wrote this in The Athletic today. I'm gonna read out of my story so I can be consistent.
Yes.
It's
a good way to cover your
tracks. I guessed 4 years, $85 million. Wait, where is it here? I think 4, 85, and 25. Is that what I had? That's what I would do with. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, 4, 85, 25. That's my prediction. Okay? 4 years.
Okay.
$85 million, 25 guaranteed. Jeffrey Simmons. You lock him up, and he gets the security. He gets the $25 million, which, again, is more than he was due. He's due $10 million more than he's due to make in both in the next 2 years combined. You have some security now. You have a great player locked up. It makes sense, and it you can make that work.
Yeah. So that'd be what, rough 21 and a quarter of $1 million a year?
I think that sounds right. There you go.
There we go.
Your phone says so, yes.
That's right. I did not learn how to do math in school, but I learned how to use a calculator, which is just as valuable. Don't anybody tell you different.
So that would remind me of Aaron Donald's outrageously huge deal. I keep forgetting. Like, it just happened, and I keep forgetting the terms. Aaron Donald.
That's three. It was 3 for $80.
Yeah. 3 for $80. Yeah. So.
Which puts Simmons in the ballpark. Yeah. However, he's sitting in the nosebleeds, and Aaron Donald is
at home.
And
that's fine. Which is, to me,
respectable.
Now, look, if you work for him, and an agent should, by the way, but you'd probably be pushing for being a little bit closer. But
you start being a little bit closer, and then you work your way down a little bit.
George Scoville on Twitter, pliable. Thank you. Thank you, George. Pliable, excellent choice. Pliable is a better word. The cap is very pliable. There is no doubt about that.
Chris on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com, says, sheesh, did we get today's rant at 7:20 talking about the Saints offseason moves? And the answer is yes. That is my version of the Rex rant.
Well, we're going to have Jared on later, so maybe – I mean, the problem is if you get into the cap is fake with him, it'll just take up the whole segment.
It'll never end.
But
it's like
– precisely.
We can all agree that major liberties are being taken, and you can look at this team and say, look at all they're doing. It's fake. But no, because you still have to consider it. You can stretch it, but you have to consider it. And
it's just
it is
the softest in sports.
Any fan can find players who are like, this isn't because they didn't like him. This isn't because this player isn't good. It's just because, like, you have to make some tough choices. The cap still looms.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, I think, to understand all this.
I don't think that's, that hard of a concept, honestly. It is just the most flexible cap in pro sports. It's not like the NHL.
Well, it is without question, it is being stretched. I mean, it's silly putty.
Yeah.
With the latest CBA, no doubt. So,
for sure. We'll continue the conversation coming up on the other side. And of course, at 7:45, it is the Rex rant. Joe's turn to rant about something. I took mine just a little earlier. But coming up next, there are three Titans names that matter and weren't on the radar before spring. And Joe is going to break those down. More Robbie and Rexford coming up next on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Tune in to 102.5 The Game every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. to hear Elijah Campbell. Wait a minute. That's me. And Michelle Knezovic. Wait a minute. That's her.
Yes.
I guess we're doing our show. Just kidding. We knew.
It's actually Campbell and Knezovic right now featuring Joe Rexroad.
Technically
That's
speaking,
basically
yes.
What this is, isn't it?
Yeah. Technically speaking, all week, it has been Campbell and Knezovic with the Joe Rexroad cameo. So thank you for being our guest all week, Joe.
Absolutely. I mean, I could chill a little bit more, you know?
You are now the most
I feel like you're
guest.
Making me talk too much.
Well, you're the guest. Yeah. So, of course, like, we don't book people for them to sit and listen, right? Like, you book people so they can talk. And that's exactly what we got going on here. So, Joe Rexroad, our guest, all morning long on Campbell Knezovic, which you can usually hear every Saturday, 9 to 11. We'll discuss Tennessee sports and catch you up on everything you might have missed during the week. People don't miss anything. Good sports crowd here. But, last segment, we tossed it up. There are three players on the Titans team that might not have been on the radar before the spring, but those names matter now. And Joe Rexroad, our guest on the weekly edition of Campbell Knezovic, is going to break that down.
Well, why don't you?
That's why we booked you.
Why don't you guess?
Okay, so three names that matter now, but weren't even on the radar before spring. So I'm thinking
three names. Yeah, or maybe I should amend that. They were, I would say with one of them, maybe a little bit on the radar, but definitely three players that I now look at differently going into camp for sure.
Okay.
And I would say one of them.
Is it based off what we've
seen?
One
of them I didn't, like, I had no idea. So I'm giving you all kinds of clues, but they probably don't help at all.
Okay.
Chick Okonkwo?
No, I mean, he was a prominent draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be like any of the, you know, like draftees, because we, obviously, you're looking for those guys to do
Des
something.
Des Fitzpatrick.
No, I mean, yeah, he's still on the radar as an important guy to. You know, I mean, now not necessarily expected to do anything, but he's on the radar of, like, is this guy going to? And honestly, look, Vrabel, Doesn't say a ton, but when you talk about Des Fitzpatrick, he did, I would say, went beyond sure, been fine the other day about Des. I would summarize it as saying he was pretty happy. He sounded like he's actually excited about his progress. Fitzpatrick made some plays. I mean, it's not like he's a non-factor, a non-starter when it comes to making this team. But no, it's not him.
Dontrell Hilliard.
No, I mean, that's another guy who I like a lot, and he's going to be a third down back. So it's a little bit – you got to go a little bit deeper cuts than
deeper
people,
cuts.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, than people we already know about. I mean, you're talking about people who have contributed to this football team. Like, I'm not there.
No one has contributed.
Well, like I said, a name that you didn't have going into the spring as a name – now are names that would actually matter possibly in training camp. I'm going deeper cut here.
Is one a wide receiver still?
Indeed.
Josh Malone.
There you go. Well done.
Station camp legend, Josh Malone.
And he's been, again, yesterday. He must have had, in the various periods, there's team, there's 7-on-7. He had a few touchdowns. He's consistently.
I've heard his name a lot more. Yeah, for sure.
No, I mean, I think that Josh Malone could be. It's a totally different situation because last year the receiving corps looked loaded once they added Julio. And then you're looking at Chester Rogers and Marcus Johnson saying, wow, in camp. I think Josh Malone could be those guys this year. Difference being that like they badly need those guys.
They need some depth just to fill out a room. Yes.
But yes, Josh Malone has absolutely helped himself. Talked to him yesterday after practice. He believes that. You know, he's very like, yep, every day, you know. Look, Josh Malone's a guy who it's been a disappointing career so far.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were high expectations for him coming out of Tennessee. But this may be a very good choice for him. I think he's got a real chance. The other two, I'm not even going to have you guess because we're going deeper cuts. Trenton Cannon is one of them.
If you
listen to Craig Aukerman, special teams coach, you got to listen.
He did mention his name.
He did, and now you can't really tell too much. I mean, if you want to go watch like punt across, like you know, you got like offense defense stuff on the field closest to where you're standing. If you really want to look beyond that and try to see what's going on with punt, like with no pads and stuff or whatever. I mean, you can do that, but you're better off just taking the special teams coach's
word for it.
Trenton Cannon sounds like a guy who might just get himself a job here as a core special teams player. And by the way, Virginia State graduate, shout out to Virginia State. Petersburg, Virginia, where I used to live.
Virginia State.
That's right.
Not to be confused with Virginia Union, the Fighting Ben Wallaces.
That's right. Also a great, and they're actually in Richmond. Petersburg, a little bit south of Richmond, Virginia State, Trenton Cannon. Named to watch. And when you're doing the roster stuff, you know, and of course he's been around a couple years with the Jets, Panthers, Ravens, Niners. I mean, he's been bouncing around, but the Titans always looking for, you know, for more on special teams. They need to get better on special teams. And my third guy is actually someone who has been on the radar, but I kind of forgot about him. And now as I watch him in a yellow jersey, I am reminded that I liked him last year, and I think he's interesting, and that is Briley Moore. Briley Moore, the tight end from Kansas State, who I thought was really making an impression in camp last year early, and he had the ACL. And I still remember that day. You know, man. Just some, you see some of these, and it was kind of like non-contact and just a bad plant, and he's down, you know, in terrible pain, and Vrabel's over comforting him, and it was just a bad scene. I mean, it's awful to see these things, especially like in situations like that, you know, where it's just you're just running, you're trying to plant your leg, and of course he was lost for the year, but he's back, he's out there, and again he's not fully, he's got the yellow jersey on, but I think that Briley Moore. We'll have a chance to make this team as a tight end. And Briley Moore has got some pass-catching ability. You'll look at what he did at K-State. He produced a lot. He can move. So another guy to keep in mind. So those three are names that just, going into all this stuff, really either didn't know or barely considered, and now I think that they're in pretty good position going into camp.
A lot of people on the text line, DrivenBoWillSkinahan.com, were taking guesses at your three players. We shout out to Dennis. He said Mason Kinsey, Josh Malone. 50% correct. We'll give half credit.
I mean, Mason Kinsey is the most discussed non-contributing player in Titans history.
He might just be. He really might.
He's on the radar.
Yeah.
You know?
He also might be the most talked about Barry College product in the history of that school.
Yes, I would think so. I can't think of any others.
Yeah,
I mean, we may have forgotten someone. Like was Raymond Barry in 1959 at Barry? I don't know. Probably not.
I can tell you Eric Berry was not at Barry College.
That's very true. Wolf from Nashville says Hooper. No, he's very much on the radar. Yeah.
He's making waves.
And whether he had this great spring or not, huge question, right, of what he would be. Dave in Big Rock says, if you have to spend 17 minutes using different adjectives to describe it, it's not real. I'm with Stillman and the Rands on this one, LOL. Well, again, it's...
Well, you can spend 17 minutes to describe anything. I mean, you can spend 17 minutes to describe me, and a lot of it's probably not flattering or FCC allowed, but...
Yeah, actually, Dave...
I'm still real.
You are. I would actually say, Dave, that if you can use adjectives to describe something, that thing probably is real.
Yeah, it's probably real.
It's a very interesting... It's an amoeba, no doubt about it. But
it's a very ambiguous concept.
If you're saying it's not real, you're saying that it does not come into consideration. That all moves are purely I don't like him or our owner doesn't have the cash or we're just moving on. It's never, well, we do have to get under. Now we could get under with this and this and this. We could do that if we really want this guy or that guy. You can do that.
Yep.
Does not make it not real, Dave. Come on. Come on. Let's all get on team living reality here.
I like that. I don't like living in reality, but sometimes you kind of have to.
Yes, you do.
The Rex Rant, always at 7:45 every day, but you know what?
You're hijacking.
I'm hijacking it. Like I have all week on this show, I am taking your staple segments, and I am stealing them for myself, and I'm just going to do that again on the other side. Rex Rant. I can't think of – there's no cool way to go around it. Like, the Rob Rant makes sense, but there is no cool manipulating title here.
The Ally Rant?
No, Joe.
No? Okay. Yeah. We'll work on it during the break.
We can workshop that. That's our job here during this break. But I'm going to rant coming up next. ESPN, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game National App.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and the NBA Finals are nearing the end. Don't miss out on your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. You can bet the money line, point spreads, player props, and so much more. Plus, you could combine your bets for an even bigger payday with a same game parlay. It could all be over with tonight. I like the Celtics to win. I like Jason Tatum over on points as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up with promo code ROB. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. So join today with promo code ROB and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Make every game feel like game 7 with FanDuel Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets. It expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox! Let's go, go, go!
Was it a sweep of the White Sox beating the Tigers? I know our own Ryan Burke at Cromwell Media is taking a victory lap. Because it was a rear kicking yesterday. I don't know if that completed a sweep or anything.
My gosh, what year is this song from?
I don't know.
Oh, this has to be this got to be pre World War II.
This is like Charles Comiskey composed this song.
I feel like this starts off a White Sox baseball broadcast. You're here. We interrupt this message to discuss the bombing at Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941, and then you're going to get a news reel right in the middle of that. So yeah, it's got to be pre. Or mid World War II.
Yeah, enjoy beating the Tigers. That's almost like beating the Reds this year.
Three times.
White Sox still suck, don't they? I check out on baseball.
Yeah, it's hard.
I mean, they pretty much blow, right?
I think they're over 500.
Yeah,
okay. Right? Joel's like, I think they might be.
I just like to troll Joe with it because I finally found a sports team. It took me a while, right? We like to beef on the basketball front, but he...
Well, I love the Warriors.
But you constantly
say... But you have nothing to say about them.
Well, the Celtics are going to beat them, so you just wait.
Okay. She's still, she is still on the Celtics train. She has not jumped off like
okay.
I have.
Okay.
But
that's fine.
Joe's not ranting this time. Now before the break, we were like on air workshopping the whatever title we should give my rant. And there's some good options here. Austin on the text line, driven by WillsCountyHunter.com, says Elijah's throwdown. Where the intro says, the gloves are off, pal. It's time for Elijah's throwdown. That's an honorable mention. Jason in Clarksville says, the jaw rant or bell rant. Like, you're getting a little closer.
Jaw rant is kind of cool.
That is. Elijah Morant. I kind of like that. But Megan on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, has the best one. The Campbell Ramble. That's gold. That is well done.
The Campbell Ramble is very good.
That is spicy. So today
can
is the
give, like,
Campbell
Megan,
Ramble.
Like, a prize for that or something?
Actually, we can. We can actually arrange that. If she's interested in Monster Jam tickets, we have some extra ones to give away. So,
are you promising this? I just want to make sure. We don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Let's see. Let me double check because I think that one deserves a reward.
I agree. Campbell Ramble.
All right. Yes, we do. If she would like them, they are hers. So, well done, Megan.
All right, Megan.
So, now it's time to kick off the Campbell Ramble. And the Campbell Ramble today is this. I like to limit my bagging of other, you know, journalists, other TV. Like, I understand this is an entertainment medium. Like, we're here to entertain. And a lot of stuff on Get Up or First Take, a lot of it is just theater. I understand. But when you're in the middle of an NBA Finals, a Stanley Cup Final, which is going to be one of the best that they've had. Now, credit, Get Up did have AJ Molesko on this morning for a segment. But there's still time for Stephen A. Smith and Chris Mad Dog Russo to debate whether Anthony Davis is still a top 7 player in the NBA because he admitted to not shooting a basketball since the season ended, since April. Even though apparently he does this all the time, and a lot of basketball players that are that good like can do that. And then discussing if you'd rather have Anthony Davis or Nikola Jokic. Like, I get it. We're in the dog days, man. I relate. That's our jobs here, is figuring out what to talk about when not a lot is going on. But there's still a lot going on. Baseball is still a thing. The NBA Finals, a lot of people watch that. Stanley Cup Finals, starting right now. There's so much more to talk about than the second best player on a team that went 33-49. This is only a microcosm of the problem, right? So this is not the first time that they have punted on other actual topics you can talk about and then electing to talk about this horrific Los Angeles Lakers team. Russell Westbrook might have gotten more publicity for being a really bad player on a really big contract, more so than any bad player on a big contract in the history of bad pro sports contracts. No, they would, like, I mean, it's ESPN Radio at night, too. Every night, the Lakers would lose, and we're talking about it. No one was interested in this 33-49 team. I'm a Laker fan. Full disclosure, my entire life, I have followed Los Angeles Lakers, loved Los Angeles Lakers, and it hurts me that they are this bad. And I am sick of hearing of them. They are my favorite team, and I am tired of hearing about them. I understand LeBron James is on the team. I understand Anthony Davis, before he couldn't play more than 30 games a year, is on the team. And when he's healthy, which is rarely ever, he is a top 10 player in the league. You could even say top 6 or 7. I get that. But you know what? He's not. He was predictably injured at the end of the year, predictably missed a ton of time this season. Russell Westbrook predictably missed a ton of three-point shots and historically shot a terrible percentage from anywhere on the floor. And we still insist, as a sports media entity at ESPN, to talk about them like they're playing right now. No one cares about the Lakers right now. Nobody. I don't care about the Lakers right now, and I love them. And that says a lot. For me to love something and not care about it, I have gotten to that point of checking out and that point of disinterest. They were 33-49. Russell Westbrook can get his shooting percentages up like 10%. He can become competent. Anthony Davis can play maybe 50 games in a season, and that's not making them that much better. The team is poorly constructed as is. LeBron's getting older. we don't have to spend this much time talking about a team that's not in the playoffs. You wouldn't talk about the Charlotte Hornets this much. You wouldn't talk about any of the – even the Chicago Bulls, who were good this much in the offseason, who have a large fan base and a very large market this much. For my embarrassment, please stop talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. When there are actual sports going on, especially in the NBA, mind you, there's a Game 6 tonight. I don't know if they've heard. But can we please stop talking and using airtime about the Los Angeles Lakers? They're terrible. They're going to be terrible again next year, as long as they still have the core of the team constructed as is.
Well said. And I think that's because that's the thing. You being a fan, that's I'd love to know. I'd love to know how many Lakers fans are like, oh, good.
Yes, oh, we're talking about yeah. Russell Westbrook's awesome contract. Like, no.
I hadn't thought about any of this. Let's get into this.
Oh, you
right
know what?
Now.
I too would rather have Anthony Davis over Nikola Jokic, a guy who just won two straight MVPs to compare to a guy who can't stay on the floor. A guy who can't make it through a game without at least falling on the floor and acting like he just broke his femur. Like, it happens every game. Like, seriously, all honesty, Stephen A. Smith, Chris Mad Dog Russo, arguing whether or not Anthony Davis is a top seven player in the NBA right now.
As Mad Dog Russo like, but Jerry West would be better than any of them, right? I assume.
George Mikan would never miss that many games, ever.
The Mikan drill. It's well, the Lakers are
they're
like the Cowboys, right? I mean, they're like the Cowboys.
They are.
It's like whatever it is. That's just going to wind its way into the discussion, no matter what's going on. And then, of course, you add the fact. I mean, LeBron also just wherever he is going.
He's
to,
going
that's
to
an
draw all, that
that's an auto entry into every discussion, right?
And like,
so you combine them,
yeah.
But they're just awful.
I understand that.
Why are they sticking with this? By the way, I mean, I hate to like actually bring up a Lakers topic right now after this rant, but like,
that's what you should do because
that's
how you fuel this. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, they have no choice. Like, no one's going to trade for Russell Westbrook. Like,
yeah.
The Lakers only did it because LeBron wanted him. That's his buddy. LeBron wanted him. Rob Pelinka is spineless.
LeBron failed at GM this year.
I'm so gratified.
Very much so.
I'm so gratified that I was actually right about this just because – I heard some talk about it when this happened, and people were so excited. I'm like, I think that's going to be awful.
You have to
shoot the basketball.
I was the antithesis of excited because part of being a good basketball team in the year of our Lord 2022 is actually being able to space the floor. Look at the Warriors. Even when they're not making threes, mind you, they were 9 for 40 in Game 5, but they were so good and competent at the three-point line that the threat of them shooting it makes you have to defend them all over the floor, and that opens up driving lanes. The Lakers just clogged the lane. They started a lineup that had DeAndre Jordan and Russell Westbrook to start the season. The idea of floor spacing was dead before it was even conceived with that team. And that's why it was a nightmare from the beginning. I watched 5 games of that team, and I remember tweeting, they're not making the playoffs. And nor will they get close to sniffing it. Because in modern basketball, you have to be able to shoot or have the threat of being able to shoot. And if you have more than one guy on the floor who is not a threat to shoot, teams are just going to force you to do it, and B, play inside. And then all your twos are going to be tough. And then Anthony Davis is going to have to play more physical. He's going to have to be able to hit jump shots. He was a historically bad jump shooter this year. And that doesn't help. He couldn't make anything around the rim. And then it also doesn't help that he doesn't play because he gets hurt in every other quarter he plays in.
I feel like you've gotten a lot out this segment.
I have.
You know, I love these still shots. Speaking of the space on the floor, you know, like these still shots from the Warriors-Celtics series where Steph's standing like almost at half court, but like there is someone absolutely attached to him, and then Klay's on the other corner, and someone's attached to him, and he's 30 feet away from the basket. And basically, you've just got the entire floor to drive, you know, if you're the rest of the team. I mean, it's basketball.
My casual basketball fans, that is called gravity. And with the Lakers, you might as well be playing in space because there was absolutely none of it.
Good stuff. I didn't know
that. That was great. I love that. But also, like, simmer down on my AD guy. BBN, come on.
BBN, like, if he
great
he plays,
player.
He plays 60 games this next year?
No, I agree.
I'll buy a jersey.
I agree.
I don't even buy jerseys anymore of modern players. I might buy a jersey if Anthony Davis plays 60 games, if he participates.
No, you will.
No, yeah.
You
this?
Said you will.
I will.
Okay, you will buy an Anthony Davis Kentucky jersey. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, if he plays more than 60 games next year, I will be the proud owner of an Anthony Davis Kentucky jersey. And I feel very confident that we're not going to see that. Classic. John Glennon coming up next, SI.com. We talked to the little Titans here earlier in this second hour. We're going to do it again with our man John coming up on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Nashville app.